turn to Matthew, the first chapter. It's been kind of interesting. Scott was mentioning a little bit about time and how fast time goes by, and we're here for just a moment. And it seemed like a moment of time ago. I was in high school, and then just this last weekend here, last 3 or 4 days, we've had events from my 50th class reunion where I get to meet all these old people that I went to school with, who I recognized about three. But the good news is they don't recognize me either, so you get to meet a bunch of new people. But it was kind of interesting. It was very interesting, as a matter of fact. There was a man that I knew from high school who was always, I don't think the word testifying to people would be the right word. He'd be badgering people about Jesus. And it wasn't a good testimony, per se. And I perceived him to be very much from a legal background. But he was there, and I got to visit with him. He's kind of a pretty nice guy, really. He knew Chubb, Ray Hill, different ones, and I don't think he said he'd been here once, so I don't know. Maybe he has. But he asked Sue. He didn't ask me. He asked what Jesus was to her, who Jesus was to her. Well, that was beautiful. You should have been there hearing her answer. It was worth the price of admission to listen to her tell him. And you could see his jaw drop on the floors as he wasn't ready for that answer. And it was precious. Sue knows what I'm talking about. And she had an instant, excellent answer. And so perhaps that's why we were there. It was a very interesting weekend. Now, I had you turn to Matthew 1, and we've been going over in our Bible studies here recently a topic that the Lord impressed upon me called Midnight Bible Stories, of which there's an increasing number all the time. The more I get into this, the bigger it gets, it seems like. And that's fine. The Lord will take it where he wants it to go, Lord willing. We talked about, in a few lessons past, the shepherds and the Lamb of God is the midnight Bible story on the night Jesus was born, when they were told by the angel of the Lord where to find Jesus, where he was. And they went and worshiped him, and Mary and Joseph were there, and the shepherds came and told him these things, and it says Mary pondered these things in her heart. Well, so did Joseph, of course, and we'll get into that more as we go through this, as this thing will go in a direction here for a little bit that way, concerning Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and there's more than one midnight Bible story concerning Mary and Joseph and Jesus. In Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, we'll read that, we find another one of these midnight Bible stories, no doubt, because even though it doesn't say that per se, that it happened at midnight, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. When do you dream? Probably during Sunday school class, but but they're also at night, right? Okay. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." This is Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. "When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. This has to be a midnight Bible story. Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now, from this story, we have determined that Joseph truly loved Mary. And he was pondering all the things that had happened to Mary, and was wondering what to do about that. And Joseph knew that Mary was pregnant with Jesus before their marriage was consummated. And Mary had most likely told Joseph how the angel Gabriel had visited her and recalled to him the facts that we read in Luke 1 that was revealed to Mary when Gabriel did visit her. And Joseph, as any of us would also have done, would have been pondering these things in his heart, but he truly loved Mary, and he was willing to take the steps required by Jewish law to put Mary away without specifying the cause, because he did not want to make her a public example of shame and disgrace. And as Joseph pondered these things concerning Mary and himself, we find in verse 20 of Matthew 1 that he fell asleep, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and revealed unto Joseph his next steps. We get into this further today and next week if the Lord tarries. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in many dreams, many midnight dreams, revealing his next steps. Now that was the way it was with Joseph. And we know our steps are ordered of the Lord, and don't expect to find your next steps in a dream. That's not what I'm saying here. But the Lord will answer our prayers and direct our steps if we ask him to. The angel of the Lord said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You ever notice in Scripture when the Lord or the angel of the Lord or any of these appear to somebody and tell them something? It's not a whole lot of words, you know. It's not complicated, and it's pretty simple. Didn't take long for that to be spoken. We don't have to have a whole lot of words spoken to us by the Lord for us to know what he wants us to do, because he created us fairly simple. He created it so all men could get saved. And some of us might think we're pretty sharp, But some of us know we're not. And we, you know, don't have to have a lot of words. We can't concentrate for that long to hear them all, you know. So this was all that the angel of the Lord said unto Joseph there. And the angel of the Lord told Joseph the very same thing he told Mary. And that was, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That was a confirmation. And the angel of the Lord told Joseph why Jesus was to be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. These words, for he shall save his people from their sins, define our Savior, which is Christ our Lord. This is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And when in Luke 1:26 through 38, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary and told her she would become the mother of Jesus. He told basically the same thing. And now in Matthew 1:18 through 25, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and convincingly told him in those few words that Mary would be the mother of Jesus, and don't be afraid to wed Mary. One translation of Matthew 1:24 and 25 reads like this: And when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. Obviously, if you think about this, both Mary and Joseph had great faith in God and in what he was doing in their lives. Yes, Mary was a chosen to be the mother of Jesus. Very special, very, very special. But Joseph was chosen to be her husband. Just as special, maybe more so, if you think about it, because he took upon himself the responsibility of helping raise Jesus. So they were of one mind in this thing. Matthew also adds one more detail in the account that we read above in Matthew 1 of the fact that Joseph was also familiar with concerning the first coming of Jesus. And this takes us to Isaiah 7:14. In Isaiah 7:14 is a scripture that was given to Isaiah, and it says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, or God with us is God. And this is the scripture that Matthew was quoting in Matthew 1:23, where it says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So that's kind of like double proof, sufficient testimony, sufficient witness of who Jesus is. And of course, the virgin that was spoken of in Isaiah 7:14 was Mary, to whom Joseph had now taken as his wife. And this midnight dream of Joseph's reinforced in Joseph's mind the fact that Isaiah 7:14 was true, and so he was not afraid to take Mary as his wife. And he knew that when she bore her son, his name would be Jesus, because the angel told him that. Now, this visit that the shepherds had to Mary and Joseph on the night of his birth was not only an event that Mary pondered in her heart, but so did Joseph. I mean, they were both together in this thing. And they both must have marveled at the things told both Mary and him by the shepherds concerning Jesus. Now, I want you to go back to Luke 2. And a few days after the midnight shepherd's visit, let's see, Luke 2, we read the following, starting in Luke 2:25. Remember, they had come down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They had now taken the time to go make a visit at the temple in Jerusalem. In Luke 25, we'll start reading there. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him, Jesus, up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He knew it was Jesus, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Joseph and Mary heard this. They look at verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. How could they not? How did you know this was Jesus? Well, you know, their jaws probably hit the floor, you know, as he spoke these words. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, Simon's name means hearkening, and truly he was hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. And verse 25, which we just read, also tells that Simon was looking for the soon coming of Jesus, here called the consolation of Israel in Luke 2:25. Think about it. Simon was in rare company. For few in his day were truly looking for the soon coming of the Messiah. Think about it this way. In our day, because it's really not that much different than in his day. How many today are truly looking for the soon second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, they know Jesus, Christians even, know Jesus is coming soon. Things have got to change. Something's got to happen. Yeah, Jesus is coming soon. But, and we roll it in our mind down the road a ways. You know, got to be soon. But not today, maybe. Maybe not till my kids get grown up, my grandkids get grown up, until I retire, and all these things that go through people's minds, you know. And that's the way they look at it. Because if you really think about it, how many are truly, really looking for Jesus to come even today? Now, that might sound a little foreign to us because we think of it like that, but not that many do. And only a few people that are called Christians, and even a smaller group called the Rib Company of just and devout saints out of the body of Christ will be found ready to marry Jesus when he does come. It ain't the whole church that's going to be in the bride. We know that from the teaching that we are so blessed to receive. One of the things that I found in talking to the different ones in our my class reunion, and there were several pastors in that group. But, you know, you talk to them, they have no depth, very little, very little. When you mention the Holy Ghost to them, it went right over the top of their head. It's kind of sad. I'm thankful that they got saved. I'm thankful that they preach salvation. But, you know, we are truly blessed, and we don't even realize how much so. We just take it for granted, I think. Please don't take it for granted what we have here and the pastor that we've been given and the pastor that we had in the past and the teachers that we have and the teachings that we have here and what we've, the depths that we're able to probe into. Somebody said in a testimony earlier in the month, they were going to come here until they learned everything, and then they were going to move on to someplace else where they could learn some more. But they're still here because they found out that I don't think they can learn everything. Right? You heard that testimony. Back to Simon. He was a just and devout man, and he was giving special attention unto the voice of the Lord manifest by the Holy Ghost, which was upon him. And Simon was revealed by the Holy Spirit who baby Jesus was. Mary and Joseph, of course, already knew who baby Jesus was. And so they marveled at his Holy Ghost-inspired words that Simon spoke, which are the prophecy found in verses 29 through 35 above. Simon, with eyes of faith, saw time way beyond his own lifetime and knew the infant Jesus he was holding was the Savior, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And Simon also prophesied of Jesus' death and resurrection in these verses, and all these facts you can further study out on your own. There was, in this same chapter of Luke, another very devout person at this very same time who was also looking for the coming of Jesus. And this was a woman. Her name was Anna. We read about her in verses 36 through 38 of Luke 2. And it says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant when Simon was saying what he did about Jesus, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Jesus to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem." Anna, her name means grace. And when you think about it, how ageless is grace? Anna was an old woman. And grace has been around a long time. Okay? God's grace is ageless. It's endless, and it reaches down to the lowest of the low and to the most helpless of the helpless and brings salvation. Paul wrote in Titus 2:11, when he expressed it like this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." That's all men, everybody, don't matter how smart or how not so smart or anybody is. the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. In Hebrews 7:25, we read this statement, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Anna saw this salvation in the infant Jesus, and she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Israel. What about Mary and Joseph in this scene? What do you think they did? I'll tell you what they did. They pondered these things in their heart. Too much, too fast, drinking out of the fire hose, so to speak, is more than they could take in. And they marveled at the things Anna spake concerning Jesus just days after his birth. Now, if you go to Luke 2:39, you'll find that Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus return to their home in Nazareth, as is noted in Luke 2:39. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord there in Jerusalem, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Go back now to Matthew, the second chapter. While you're turning, Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and that is where we find him when the wise men of Matthew 2 also find him some 2 years later. The wise men of Matthew 2, that's a whole nother Bible study, and we've done that before, and we're not going to repeat it here. But a careful study of Matthew 2:16 reveals that Jesus was a young child of about 2 years of age by the time the wise men came to where he was. Where was he? You've been paying attention? He was in Nazareth. Okay. And that's where they found Jesus, where we last saw him, in Luke 2:39 in Nazareth of Galilee with Mary and Joseph. Matthew 2:11 says this concerning the wise men. And when they were coming to the house, there's no manger scene here. He was in a house. He was in Nazareth. They saw what? A young child. The young child. With Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. The gifts were gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many wise men were there? We don't know. It doesn't say. If you're going to say three, bite your tongue. Might have been more. It might have been three. Might have been less. There was more than one. They were men. It wasn't a wise man. It was wise men. There could have been a bunch of them. But they had gifts, three gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the wise men came to worship him, and they did. Their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh go like this. Gold was a gift for a royal king. Frankincense was a gift for a priest. Myrrh, a gift for a prophet. Do you think they knew who Jesus was? These gifts symbolically show that these wise men knew that Jesus was special. Did they know that he was the King of Kings, as is noted in 1 Timothy 6:15? Did they know that Jesus was the great high priest spoken of in Hebrews 4:14? Did these wise men know that Jesus was the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, as is recorded in Matthew 21:11? I think they knew that. I think they had thought long and hard about this. They truly were wise men. They had 2 years to change their mind in following this star from the east that the Lord had shown them. So they had 2 years to change their mind and turn back. They also had 2 years to talk about who it was they were going to see. They knew, didn't they? That's a whole nother Bible study. Well, we got through what we got through here this morning. If the Lord tarries and Lord willing, we'll move on with some more midnight Bible stories concerning Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus.